Let me just open this.
Mm-hmm. What do you have?
I have, I have Windhand brand beer.
You could, get yours. You guys could have matching koozies.
Where is it?
I think it's on the counter. You guys have beers. I have Reese's Peanut Butter Puffs.
Nice.
As my podcast treat.
You should pour the beer into the Reese's and see how that tastes. Like, probably not good.
Good old beerio. Beer and puffs.
Yep.
We're matching.
Yeah.
Yeah, cheers.
Here.
This is Dorothea.
There you go.
Yeah, this is for Dorothea, who couldn't be here with us.
No, she's working.
Oh.
Yeah, she's an important woman. A lot of people need her.
Oh, yeah, I know. She is.
I like this thing at the bottom. It says,
You're in the show.
You're in the show.
Oh, dude, perfect.
Welcome, Fanatics. This is the latest entry in the Diary of Doom. I am your cipher, Dylan, and join me as we look back on the rich history of doom metal and its sister sounds based on the recounted tales of its followers. And every week, we'll have a different guest to spin their yarn. You can visit the website at diaryofdoom.com, follow us on Instagram, and like us on Facebook, follow the podcast on diaryofdoom.podbean.com. And subscribe and listen to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. And if you have any kind of weird questions, you can send them over to diaryofdoom1968@gmail.com. And I'm very happy to welcome to the show Leanne Martz and Gina Gleason of their new project, Darling. But you probably know both of them and who they are and what they've done before. So thank you for coming on the show. Very happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, man. It's awesome.
So, they have a new project out. It's called Darling. The third member is Dorothea from Windhand, who unfortunately cannot be here this evening. She was working. So this goes out to Dorothea, I guess.
Woohoo! Yeah.
But what have you been up to down south in New Jersey since, I guess, the start of this shit year?
We're based in Philly. Kind of like nothing and everything. Yeah, just trying to stay busy with music stuff. Obviously, touring was not a thing, not an option this year.
Yeah. Because you were supposed to go out with War on Women. Was it War on Women?
We got to go out with War on Women last summer with them and Torch. And then this upcoming spring, we were meant to first go to Japan and Australia and then do a run with Against Me.
That's who it was.
Yeah. And then more kind of Euro festival stuff in the summer. But so we just made ourselves creatively busy otherwise as much as we could. And,
me and Gina are lucky to live close enough to each other in Philly that we kind of quarantined together through. Mm-hmm. So we were able to keep working
and stay creative and whatnot and drive each other crazy.
Totally. Yeah. Yes. It was a good year for driving people crazy.
So was Darling something that was in the works before quarantine started, or was it a creation of quarantine, and what led up to putting together the project?
This project actually started about 2 years ago, but we kind of just kept it down low because we were not sure what we wanted it to sound like, and we didn't really exactly have definite plan of like what we wanted to do. But the song we've just released, we've had kind of in the works, shifting in a lot of directions, trying to figure out did we want what kind of arrangement we wanted to have with it. But no.
It's not a quarantine product per se, but it just seemed like a good time to put something out and to put a fire under our ass, be like, you know, the three of us have creatively been collaborating for a while, and it's just kind of this back and forth of like, you know, we have this collection of songs, and it's like, well, should this have drums? Should this be like more empty? Should this have this and that? And, you know, we've just been working that stuff out for the past little bit, and just said, you know what, fuck it, let's just put one out.
Yeah,
you know?
The quarantine definitely drew a lot more focus ourselves to that, mm-hmm. because everybody's trying to figure out what they want to do. You know,
yeah, and I know people have been, you know, keeping busy during this time. There's still a lot of tunes coming up and whatnot, but you know, there's obviously stuff getting delayed because of everything that's going on. But it's cool to see, you know, you putting out some new music and, you know, having like a band camp that you can just, you know, throw that up there and be like, hey, now is the time. Check this out.
For sure, and we just are so grateful and appreciative of everybody that did check it out and supported. And like, we were just, and then still are just like floored at that, you know, this is like such a great community when it comes to just like supporting each other creatively. And yeah, that's just something that we feel really grateful and inspired by. We want to keep doing more, you know?
Yeah. So how have you all gotten to know each other over the years?
Oh, I would love to tell you this, actually. So I met Gina about 10 years ago. I started working at Guitar Center when I was 18. And the same month that I was hired there, I was told another young woman is also going to start working there. And she plays in a all-girl Metallica tribute band. And then I met Gina. And we hit it off as like friends, you know, so we started jamming together. And next thing you know, the guitar player in the band sort of left in Miss Metallica. And she said, you know, we could use a guitar player. And then she invited me to come jam. So we've just been playing
nice.
Kind of ever since.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So over the years, we've kind of just ebbed and flowed with our own musical careers. So we played a little bit together, actually, out in Las Vegas. And then I moved back home to Philly and started doing some other projects. And in the meantime, I met Dorothea just playing music. And we also just became immediate friends. And, you know, I just started jamming with Dorothea and started jamming with Gina. And then, actually, me and Gina were putting together, like, a little bit of music over the last couple of years. And we were like, you know, we could use a singer. And I was like, you know, I know the perfect person.
I was saying, you're like, you know, I know this person.
Yes.
With this voice.
I feel confident that we could trick her into being in the project.
What did you have to like bait her in? Like, was it like yodels or like some kind of like sugary confectionery?
Said, imagine a band of your wildest dreams. And she was like, yes. Had to say.
She's like, my wildest dreams are sitting right in front of me.
I've got the answer.
I think too, just the three of us hung out together and just were like, well, this is just a blast. We might as well.
Yeah, it's super lighthearted when the three of us are together. Nobody had any aspirations to be like, let's make like this huge crazy project, because it's supposed to just be fun.
Yeah, you're not crafting like a rival to Radiohead.
No. Now we're just trying to come up with something cool.
That would be very funny if you were like, we're gonna fucking take out what's the guy's name from Radiohead?
Tom York.
Yeah, we're taking him down. You're going down, York.
Oh man, I mean, I'm a huge Radiohead fan.
Yeah,
you are too.
I like Radiohead.
I'm just busting Tom York's stones, evidently, even though he's not here. I don't care.
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
So you've got the, like you said, you have the one track out now. It's called Baptists. It's out on Bandcamp. Go check it out. And because it's really fucking cool. I got like this kind of a Pink Floyd-y vibe from it, because it has like a lot of there's a lot of moments where there's very delicate and like melodic parts just dropped in between these like very like cavernous dark riffs that just kind of hover over you. And it sort of reminded me of like The Wall. It has like some of those like wall-ish riffs that just sort of like hold, but it's obviously not like, you know, just for like, you know, 80 minutes or whatever. So yeah, it was just like, it was really cool. And I love those wall riffs. I just think they're sick.
Totally. I'm a huge Pink Floyd fan as well. So that's a huge, huge, huge compliment that you even like thought, oh, this reminds me of that. That's awesome. But, and we're both like pedal gear fanatics, you know. I actually didn't, I don't play guitar on this until like the last 10 seconds or something. I just play like synth.
Did you know it was me?
It was me all along. I had the solo.
I just felt like that was a really good time to take this flannel off and see those steamy in here.
Show off the guns.
Show the guns.
Yeah. Well, Dorothea had originally like written the song for pretty personal matters that she had close to herself. And I just started playing guitar on it, but Gina sat down on a synth and then it just like sounded cool. We just weren't really sure like what to expect. Me and Gina are really used to playing guitar together, but I feel really excited to be experimenting with different ways to approach.
Yeah, it felt like a bit liberating to put the guitar down and just be like, you know what, maybe there's something else more appropriate for this that can still be heavy and, you know, like we could say doomy or all the things that we like that, you know, feel intense and emotional, but maybe through a different voice instrumentally could be interesting. And yeah, so I think for us too, that just felt like liberating, where it's like, maybe we can just put this in a different frame, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it was cool to listen to, because I don't know what most people would expect, but I'm sure that if you got like, you know, the like big shit people together in like some doom supergroup, we all know what it would fucking sound like. So it was cool for me to hear something that was like, you know, dark and scary, but it had like a cool, it had enough of a sound and a difference. I was like, yeah, right on. This is cool. This is something new. This is something different, you know? And it does, you know, obviously like Dorothea's voice is, you know, a whole other like element into itself. But it also, it's like, it doesn't sound like Windhand, which is good. I'm sure if she wanted to go have a Windhand song, she could just go be in her actual band Windhand and do that.
Chris. No, that's awesome. Yeah. And yeah, we just really appreciate them. And
yeah, thank you.
Just excited to
of course
we're out and keep experimenting, you know?
Yeah. I was going to ask like who was on like the respective instruments. Cause I did notice there were like those creepy scattered keyboards in the back. So Gina, you were mostly on the synths with like, you know, your 10-second guitar solo or whatever it was. And then Leanne, I'm assuming you're on like guitar, and I don't know if it's bass or if that's just like heavy distorted guitar in there.
All right, so Dorothea is actually singing and playing acoustic guitar.
Okay.
Playing electric guitar, the clean parts. And Gina's playing a synthesizer with bass kind of effect.
It's just like a mono synth. It's like one of the Korg monologues that I just have like distorted and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just ran it through like a big reverb, just like a reverb plugin, like nothing crazy, but it kind of gives it that hollow sound. And then all that clean guitar that Leanne's playing is like this kind of shimmer delay kind of thing, so that some of those melodies can kind of trickle into mm-hmm. one, and they do like a cool pitch octave-y thing. And
yeah. And also together, we're fortunate to be quarantined in a house right now. So we have some of our stacks downstairs, and we just kind of together experimented with some feedback sounds.
Oh, nice.
Went through some pedals, and I think that's kind of what you're listening to.
Well, what was it like getting used to that new stuff? Because that's kind of like, you know, you're both, like, I know you both, you know, as like shredders, basically. So, you know, you're jumping into the new instruments. Like, what was that like? Or did you always just like have some base knowledge of the stuff, you know, from like whether it was just like fucking around or if you actually wanted to learn it or whatever?
For like synth world, which is a whole deep rabbit hole that I very, very with the basics, you know, getting into, it's just, that's like a world that I really appreciate that my bandmates, like, are Sebastian and Nick in Baroness are like very much like synth dudes.
Yeah.
Know a lot about that stuff. So I learned a lot just from asking them stuff.
There's a lot of trial and error that was involved.
Definitely.
So, I mean, I've always kind of like thought that that approach was really cool to have absolutely, well, I don't want to say you didn't have any idea, but more than me, but just to like not really have an educated approach to an instrument and then to just see what you come up with. I like when people that haven't been taught how to play guitar pick up the guitar. I think it's really interesting how they, what they come up with.
Sure. You have a totally unfiltered approach to an instrument, like when you've been playing guitar like us for, oh god, I've been playing for a long time, and
we both play a long time.
It's a struggle sometimes to make your instrument feel like fresh and new, or you have to really, really commit to challenging yourself to learning something like completely like out of your comfort zone, and that's awesome. I love doing that, but there is something very exciting and liberating to just like, you know, I'm going to try a whole different thing and just, you know, not have that lens of like, well, it should be like this and it should be like that and technically this and that, and you know,
we still shred together recreationally, don't get us wrong, but,
legalized recreational shredding.
Got a t-shirt.
Yes,
that should 100% be a t-shirt. Legalized recreational shredding.
Sure,
I like this.
But I think that it just, we just were ready to try to do something new. It's like, you know, we can make some music that we're shredding on, but we just spent a lot of time playing together doing that. We're like, you know what, let's try something else. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We're just trying something else.
Cool. What is there to come forth from Darling now? Is there more songs, album? Is this going to be kind of like this vibe, or are you going to try to just like throw stuff at the wall, see what sticks, and put stuff together?
For songs to come, but I'm hesitant to say too much else because I like the element of surprise.
Yeah.
Ah.
But we have a lot more songs, and we're excited to keep putting them out. And I hope it's just a surprise each time.
Awesome. I was trying to figure out what your shirt said, and I was like, oh, it's Dachshund fan.
Oh, me?
Oh,
I know that's it. I know Necrot is.
The band.
The band.
Mine says, Dachshund fan. I am a Dachshund enthusiast. My family has many, but I made the design for this shirt. I made this little brother because his Instagram handle is Dachshund fan 29, but... this is my own line of what you can see is all these dachshunds flying around in the lightning.
Well, we'll get a picture of that up to go with the episode.
Yeah. It also comes in blue.
There you go.
For all listeners.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. I'm saying thank you for asking about my shirt.
Oh, of course. I was just like, what? I'm like, what? What weird black metal band is it with the, I'm like, Rockin' Fry. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, I like it when people confuse it for a rock and roll band.
For devil music.
Yeah.
So I guess to kind of go back in time a little bit, like what were your earliest you know, experiences with music? Like, what got you attracted to it? I'm sure Gina has answered this question like a million times, but that's unfortunately the format of this show. So I'm laying it on you again. So like, where did you guys cut your teeth early on?
It's funny because we still talk about stuff like this every day. Just being like, ah, oh, you remember that one thing that we did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Guys, take it away.
Well, you really like when I remind you about, was it my dad had like a Squire Strat at his house, which came in a box with like a VHS tape that I don't remember what it was called, but the premise was like, learn to play the blues. It's like,
when we were younger, we were like 18, we were having a beer in Gina's like dad's basement, and she picks up this DVD and it's
no,
like
VHS.
Okay, VHS. Learn 12 bar like blues, and she picks it up and she's like, dude, when I was a kid, I had this DVD, and she's like, VHS. If I could just learn VHS. Be the happiest girl like in the world. I think you met the goal there. So what we have here is the happiest girl in the world.
In the world.
She can play the 12 bar blues.
Dude, the VHS was awesome because it was just this like dude with like handlebar mustache and just like really triple XL t-shirt, like, all right, now we're gonna learn the 12 bar blues. You gotta do.
Like, he's definitely like they filmed it in the 90s.
He's the man. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's one fun story of Gina's musical upbringing.
I'm pretty sure you have some stories of dressing up like Angus Young and
You know, I mean, I'm not ashamed of that.
You're an AC/DC person.
My intro to music was I was gifted the album Back in Black by my older brother, and I just loved it. He gave it to me. He was like, you're probably not going to like this right here. really liking it. And then I asked my mom if I could like take some guitar lessons. And it's funny because I lived in this neighborhood and like I was 11. So I'd like ride my like Razor scooter around. And I like, went by this is a true story. I drove by on my scooter, a trash can. And out of the trash can was sticking a Gibson guitar neck. And I remember like going by it and then just was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So I pull out of my neighbor's trash can. It's a vintage 1968 Gibson SG Melody Maker. And I remember like taking it home and my mom was like, where did that come from? And I was like, their trash can. And she's like, well, I ended up keeping it, but that was my first nice guitar.
Well, she made you ask permission. You had to knock on the door.
Okay, I had to go knock on their door and ask for permission, and they said yes. So the red Angus Young Gibson SG was mine, but it was cool because I had like three copies of AC/DC Live at Donington on DVD, not VHS, that I put on like my parents' like speaker system, and yes, dress like him and like run around. I couldn't do any of the solos, but I could do definitely the TNT riff. And I could do the dance too.
Yeah.
I love that you had to get permission, be like, can I please have your trash?
I don't know. They just said I could have it.
There you go.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. But, oh yeah. So that was cool and everything until I started working at Guitar Center. Like, I was very average guitar player. And then, yeah, Gina started working there, and my friend was like, yo, 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 she can totally shred, she can totally. And I was like, no. And then, like, she started, like, playing guitar in front of me, and I was like.
Just like the cartoon, just like. Boom.
And then, like, I just was like, oh, God, I'm so nervous. But then, so when she asked me to be in Metallica initially, I was like, I can't. But then, like, she was like, well, you can. You should just don't know it yet. And so I just had to learn all these Metallica songs.
Yeah.
And then she taught me how to play shred guitar. And that's how I got into rock and roll.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right, now more.
That's it.
More. What's my next question?
Rock.
I did take lessons at School of Rock.
School of, well, there was a, probably not the School of Rock that I'm thinking of.
Maybe.
No, there's their School of Rock was a venue in Hackensack, New Jersey.
Oh, Hackensack. Nice, dude.
I'm
surprised I'm not either.
I went to some pop punk shows there back in the day because they were like $5 and it was a thing to do with your friends.
Okay.
Sounds good. Sounds like the place to be.
No, the School of Rock is like an actual place where you like learn rock, right?
It is. Right now, now it's like a whole franchise of, it's like an after school music, place to take lessons, music program. It started in Philly and, it's a really neat program because you go and take lessons with your teacher like one-on-one. I still actually take lessons to this day with the teacher that I had when I was 13.
That's pretty cool.
Guy called Yanni Papadopoulos. He plays guitar for Stinking Lizaveta, who, if you don't know them, fucking incredible, just instrumental, psychedelic, shred, kind of doomy. Just like fucking awesome band. He's an incredible guitar player, but
Check it out.
Definitely. Yeah.
He's definitely a guitar player with a name like that.
Right? He's got the best name.
He's like an Yngwie.
Yeah, totally. I think he's a lot cooler than Yngwie, though. He's like,
dude, literally anybody is cooler than Yngwie Malmsteen.
Honking cool. Oh man.
Yeah, you cite Yanni as her favorite guitar player.
I do. He's the man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays all this, like, gypsy swing shit, but he can play, like, Yngwie licks. He can play anything. He plays, like, really good jazz.
There's nothing he can't play.
And shit, he's awesome. So.
Leanne, you pretty much said like you got into metal when your brother gave you the AC/DC record. Gina, was there a record that somebody gave you or you listened to that was like, oh, hell yeah, I love metal?
Yeah, it was British Steel, Judas Priest.
Oh, right on. Fucking yeah. Classic.
I went to, remember Sam Goody?
Yeah. Love Sam Goody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Plymouth Meeting Mall.
Mm-hmm.
That I went with
That's
my dad.
Right.
And he was like, you can buy a CD. I don't know. And I don't know why. I just picked that one up and thought,
that looks cool. Yeah.
But it's not even the coolest. It's a cool album cover, but it's not even like their craziest looking one. Like, it's not like Painkiller where it's like, whoa. You know, it's kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
By comparison,
just like British Steel.
It's just British Steel. But whatever, in my, 11 or 12 year old brain, it really spoke to me in that moment.
What's the one with Defenders of the Faith with the big tank line thing?
Dude. Oh.
Oh no.
We're tip of the tongue in it.
Oh God, I should just Google it. God, cut up my metal card right now. I failed the mighty Rob.
Dude.
Oh man, this is bad. I'm
a cooler album cover still, you could argue, than British Steel. Not knocking it. But
it's a classic album cover.
It's a classic album cover.
Back in Black didn't have shit on it,
but that's cool. British Steel's is like a razor blade.
Yeah, they're just holding up the blade or whatever, and it's, it's classic, but it's not, like, the most, it's very iconic, but it's not necessarily as cool or as badass as, like, Screaming for Vengeance, which has, like, the big eagle on it. Why can't I find this fucking artwork? This is really making me upset.
Faith is the album, right? That's the way with the, like, Tron Transformer-looking dragon. That wasn't a fart. That was my elbow. Do you?
No.
I can recreate it.
It sounds like a fart.
I can recreate it.
Yeah, but it is Defenders of the Faith. Okay, I was just like, wait a minute, I have a podcast named after this too, or like that's a satire of it. It is Defenders of the Faith. Okay, Defenders of the Faith is the whew, man, senior moment.
We got there.
Oh, it's fine. I thought that you had another like big album that you're like, there's two albums I had. It was like British Steel, and there's like another one.
Back in Black was like, I think the second album I bought.
I don't know what I'm thinking of, but maybe it was the Pixies.
Oh, I really love the Pixies.
I like the Pixies.
I remember my mom like was trying to like do a cool mom thing, and like she was
I love this story.
She was never like initially not like, she was not stoked on like my, this is what my daughter's
the new rock and roll lifestyle. Yeah.
I don't think most like parents are.
She's like Italian, Catholic, like she's very sweet.
She's a pretty standard, I care about my daughter mom.
Totally.
Yeah.
But so she wasn't not stoked, but she was doing like, I'm doing like a cool mom thing. And she knew I really liked the Pixies. So she bought Surfer Rosa, Come On Pilgrim.
Nice.
CD, and I guess that the price sticker was over the album artwork, which just is like a black and white photograph that has boobs in it. And when I like opened it, I was stoked. I was like, this is awesome, like thank you so much. And I like took the cellophane off and revealed the boobs. And she just took it back and was like, you know what, no.
Oh, that's funny. Like, no, if no. Only I knew.
Yeah. But only I knew there were breasticles on this.
Yeah, it can't
piece
be
of artwork.
Breasticles.
Breasticles. That's great.
She tried. We all tried.
And then, yeah, that was good.
And then what?
Well, I was gonna say we went to try to go see the Pixies. Me and her. But people were smoking pot in our vicinity, so we had to go.
That was like, I went to go see a Pink Floyd cover band and people were smoking pot in front of me. And my friend was like, we have to leave. And I'm like, why? He goes, because there's people smoking pot. And he does have asthma, to be fair. But he was like, yeah. I'm like, well, we've only been here for like 30 minutes. He's like, I know, but we have to go. And I was like, okay. So I got to see like 30 minutes of the machine and then we left.
Yeah, you saw something cool.
Yeah.
Better than nothing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm now, or before quarantine, it was just like smoking pot at every single fucking show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's popular.
That's a fun thing to do. When did you all start getting into like doom metal and that kind of thing, sort of like the heavier stuff?
Like more niche kind of metal. I think I personally steered immediately towards like thrash and death metal. Mm-hmm. But still really loved like the Pixies and Radiohead and that kind of shit. And so I went, yeah, pretty immediately towards new wave British heavy metal, thrash, death metal, started veering into the black metal world. Really liked the atmospheric elements of that as just a genre, which was really, seemed a lot more interesting to me in my like later teens. And then I don't know how I specifically, yeah, you know, you just keep evolving down the little niche rabbit holes of this genre.
Yeah, down like the family tree.
Yeah, and I don't know.
I think for me, the last couple of years, like maybe within like 4 or 5 years, I started going to like local Philly shows. And the things that were hip happening around here were like doom shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really cool. But I really liked it because I, along with Gino, just was really into thrash metal. But I don't know, I just kind of got involved and started playing. And I don't know, that's where I started meeting new friends, and everybody was in like doom bands. And I don't know, I was just stoked to play.
Yeah, it kind of gets back to like what we were saying earlier, just the metal community in general, especially like within your local town. Philly is a really good example. Like there's just a great sense of community and like just wanting to support one another. And so,
yeah, I've said that a lot on this podcast. There's a lot of like sort of like family, you know, support, and everybody who's sort of in the scene is like doing something, they're involved in some way, or whatever. It's like rare that you find someone who's just like, oh yeah, I'm just here for the show. You know, there's usually somebody up to something.
Yeah. Totally.
That's cool. I've made a lot of friends and just playing with people, hanging out, just in like this community of music. I know that sounded really stupid, but I'm really appreciative of everybody that I've met. You know, that's how I got linked up with Dorothea, was just going to shows and stuff. And I ended up making a best friend out of it. So it's cool.
Yeah. Lifelong friends. All right. Perhaps a bit risque, but who has the best butts in doom metal?
That's a great question. You better say Baroness.
Okay.
The entirety of the band.
Let's see, the best butts of doom metal. Really good question. Really good question. Well, yes, everybody in Baroness has a really nice butt, I guess. I've seen everybody in bathing suits. Everybody in Baroness looks really good in bathing suits.
But I'm imagining they're all wearing like just big baggy bathing suits.
Sebastian's bathing suits are very, it's really something I recommend checking out. He was actually featured on the Instagram webpage Sexy Vegans, if you didn't know that.
That happened.
Best butts of doom metal. I didn't come prepared for that question.
Maybe I should have emailed it over earlier and been like, you must compile this list.
Does anybody come to mind for you?
Nick Jost.
Yeah, Nick. The bass player of Baroness.
So what we've learned is that Baroness is just an assortment of very good-looking people.
Well, it's just like, he's a really good dancer.
I saw that.
Yeah.
On stage, and also one time we were all invited to a wedding, and Nick's moves are on point.
True.
Yeah, don't have any...
Don't make qualms about that.
Yeah, no, I don't.
No. Question that you ask on each episode, I'd love to know like the common answer.
Yeah, what does everybody say?
Yeah, no, I don't think I'll be asking. So Matt Pike, who has the best butts in doom metal? I'm not gonna ask. That would probably be a little uncomfortable.
You'd probably say his wife.
Probably.
Alyssa, yeah. That's a friend of mine.
Oh yeah, she's from Philly, right?
I think she's with Matt wherever they are together. But I.
Well, no, I thought she's from like originally from Philadelphia, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Or something. Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know who else would have the. I mean, I don't really want to say it because I'll just sound gross if I'm like, man, that person has a great butt.
Hey, you should say. I mean, I'm curious. Too.
You said it was a little risque.
You said it was a little risque.
I don't know. The problem is that like I know all these people, and if they're listening to it, they'd be like, why were you talking about my butt? Better yet, why were you looking at my butt? I'd be like, I don't know.
Well, all right. Well, we won't put you on the spot.
Wait, I thought of someone.
Okay.
His name is Ryan Wolf. He drums for Windhand, and if you've ever seen him from behind, it's great.
There you go.
Yeah, I thought of my nomination.
You know what? I bet you at least one of the dudes in Elder has a good butt. Okay. For some reason, they seem like they would be gentlemen with good rear ends.
Do you think I can Google Elder but from behind?
Elder but from behind.
Yeah, then I could take a look. That sounds so creepy, but I was just...
It does. It sounds very bad. It sounds like it might bring you to, like, a Pornhub link.
We got hashtag elder, but from behind. Hashtag legalized recreational shredding.
Yes, recreational shredding.
What about the best butts in heavy metal overall? That's probably an easier answer.
I don't know.
Best butt in heavy metal... James Hetfield.
Hey, there we go.
James Hetfield, some dad butt.
Yeah, sometimes he's got a little bandana coming out of the back pocket, you know. That's a pretty good nomination. I've looked, obviously.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think he always is well-dressed ever since he was a youngin'. I don't know. Oh, it could be Wendy O. Williams.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Probably.
Fanatics around here.
Mm-hmm. Wendy was pretty dope. I'm sure Lemmy had a nice keister too.
Oh yeah. Let's put him on the list too.
All right. It'll be a building list. We'll just add to it as it goes along. We'll just have like a periodic check-in. Leanne, you need a new butt for the metal list.
This is a great task for you to be on top of.
Yeah. I'll totally write that down and send it to you.
We should do like a calendar.
Sure. Actually, I was gifted once a calendar of just butts once.
Was it like fireman butts or just butts?
Well, I mean, I don't really understand. I'll tell you about it, but I don't really understand why somebody gave it to me other than the fact that, like, butts is a good conversation for a topic for conversation. But my friend gave me all, like, soccer team. And they're all naked, but like all the pictures are just like of their butts. And I remember like, wow, thank you. And it also was from like 2005. So it's old. Yeah, it was an old calendar. Yeah. No, it was not my mom.
So you couldn't even like put that up. Because you'd be like, all right, I have my dentist appointment. They'd be like, why'd you miss it? You'd be like, oh, fuck, this is 7 years old.
Right. So yeah. I would end up confusing myself with it. But also, I don't know. I just couldn't. It was a gift that I appreciated, and I tucked it into the pile of gifts that I appreciate, and they live in the closet. Yeah.
Nice. What have you been listening to lately? Is there anything you've been diving into? New stuff, old favorites?
Oh, that's a really good question. Well, to be honest, I really like a lot of indie music. So Phoebe Bridgers released a new album in June that I really, really like.
You're like the second person to tell me about Phoebe Bridgers and how much they enjoy Phoebe Bridgers.
Well, it's because, I don't know, I just really, really like her music and I really like her on the internet, and I've seen her live before, and I don't know, I just like it. We're also, both of us are also really big fans of the band Big Thief. So within the year, they put out a lot of music that still hasn't really gotten old to me yet.
We listened to a lot of Grouper last week.
Grouper's really cool.
Mm-hmm. I listened to a bunch of Wasp this week.
Wasp. Nice.
Yeah.
So for me, the answer is Phoebe Bridgers, Big Thief, and actually probably Slipknot. I don't know. I just think the drumming is really cool.
Yeah, dude. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
What was that other band? Grouper?
Grouper.
Yeah, she's like a solo female that does also a lot of just like synth and kind of like delay feedback loops, and like she sings kind of like a, it's just kind of like a shy vocal thing on top of it. It's really beautiful, and it's just like really atmospheric, and
yeah, it has a shoegazy vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it a lot too.
Cool. I'll check it out.
I'll just say Wasp.
Wasp.
I listen to a lot of the Hardcore History podcast this week.
Oh yeah. I think my mom told me to listen to that. She said that she was enjoying it.
Pretty cool.
My mom's like an old punk rocker, so she wasn't in any bands. She just was in the scene. So she's like enjoys all that shit.
Are you from New York or Jersey?
I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah, cool. What whereabouts? You near Hoboken, you said, or
Yeah, I'm pretty close to Hoboken. I'm in Bergen County, so I'm like about 30, 40 minutes from Hoboken, you know, back when like travel was a thing.
Remember that?
So, but pretty close to New York, so I'm in and out of the city previously and now too, you know, in and out to see people.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, I miss my metal scene.
Yeah, we do too.
But you know what? I think that with everybody in quarantine, everyone's just come up with really unique, creative ways to just stay active and stay in touch with people. And like, there's not shows, but there's tons of creative content and live streams or streaming events and just like different ways that people can still kind of have that sense of community and be involved and stay in touch with their friends and bandmates or people in bands. And so that's fucking awesome, you know?
Yeah, I think it's forced people to be creative with how they can just
stay in touch and stay busy. And,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen some good streams, like Vile Creature did a stream that was like a choose your own adventure type deal. I didn't get to see the actual stream of it, but I watched the other one and it was like really, it was obviously the performance was great, but also just like the select your own adventure stuff was really cool. Clutch has done a couple of ones. I watched like at least one of the, I think Toke did one or two. There's another one, like Reggie's is doing a benefit soon with Weed Eater and ASG and Toke. So that's on in September. So you should definitely check that out. Reggie's is like an institution of Asheville, I think. Is it in Asheville?
I thought of Reggie's in Chicago, but I'm not sure.
Oh, maybe it is. Maybe it is the one in Chicago. Maybe I just don't know what the fuck I'm talking. I thought there was a Reggie's down in there, but I guess Reggie's is the one in Chicago. So obviously I didn't come prepared either.
I automatically assumed we were wrong.
True.
I don't know. Maybe we're both wrong and maybe it's not in either one of those places.
Somebody let us know.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, that's cool. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
It is in Chicago. What am I talking about?
Oh, it's got like a record store like attached to it or like upstairs or something.
Have you played there?
Is we it played a venue? There. Remember we played there when we were doing that tour to
we did?
Mishawaka and back? Yeah.
In Mistalica?
Yeah. And we like stayed upstairs. The dude
had it was like not finished at the time.
Yeah, maybe.
In Chicago? I don't know.
Anyway, yeah.
All right, whatever. So I just
support, you know, venues, mid-sized.
Just Google it. You'll find it. It's out there. If you follow Weed Eater or any of those other bands, they'll have shared it. So find Reggie's on Instagram and tell them that Dylan on Dire of Doom was wrong and ban him for life.
Don't say that.
Do you want to plug anything? Is there anything you want to promote that you want people to check out?
Just stay tuned, you know.
Good. And like I said, anybody that just went and checked out Darling, we have just a page on Instagram. It's just Darling Music, and we're just excited to keep doing stuff. So big thank you to anyone that went and just checked it out. Yeah. We really, really appreciate that.
And also, I don't know what Dorothea would want to say, but also thank you.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, if she was here, she wouldn't say it herself, so I'll say it for her, but her solo music is also really cool.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Definitely go check out Dorothea's solo stuff. Obviously, you know, Wind Hand and Baroness. We all know who Baroness is. They all have the best butts in doom metal.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
You heard it here on Diary of Doom, page 7,562. Baroness has good butts. Go follow Gina and Leanne on Instagram. I think it's Gina Gleason 1? Gina Gleason?
Like Gina Gleason guitar.
Gina Gleason guitar. I think, yeah, that's what it is.
Gina Gleason GTR.
True.
There you go.
Don't forget it. Write it on your hand.
Write it on your hand. Oh, yeah. And Leanne and Dorothea were also in a recent 2 Minutes to Midnight cover of Be My Druid by Typo Negative. And it was really fucking good. You should go check that out. Gina was involved in some capacity. I'm not sure what it was. But she was... Oh, she's going to tell me right now.
Yeah, Gina helped me take the video. It's really funny taking videos of yourself, but if you have a buddy like behind the camera bin, like twirl, twirl,
awesome, twirl. It looks awesome.
Yeah, more. It's like that. It's like that scene in Austin Powers where he's just like, yes, yes, no, no. You're a tiger.
That is just and we like doing fun things with our friends. But yeah, that came out really cool. I thought Dorothea sounded really awesome in the video.
She sounded great. It was super good. Just it felt like a brand new song.
Yeah.
Gina did one too, where she and Jordan from the show covered a Danzig song.
Yes, with Santos from Old Man Gloom as Danzig.
Killed it, dude. He's awesome.
So funny.
Yeah,
it was
good. Me and Dorothea were really excited to be invited. Because Gina was on the show before, doing a really awesome cover of Hot for Teacher, if you haven't seen
it. Yes, it was very good. It was very fun.
Yeah.
You guys are really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Louise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go check that out. Go check out the 2 minutes page on YouTube. You can find those there. And do you mind if I grab that song? Could I drop it in at the end of the episode?
Please do.
Of course.
Be
awesome. We can send a MP3 or
whatever. Yeah.
I'll just grab it off of Bandcamp.
Problem.
Thank you,
man.
Yeah, no problem. So we'll close out with Baptists by Darling. Again, that's Leanne Martz, Gina Gleason, and Dorothea Cottrell. And they have more stuff in the works, but you'll get around to it. So thank you for coming on. This was awesome. Had a great time.
Dylan,
yeah.
Talk to you later, man.
See ya.
Thank you.
Bye.
Now blame the Baptists, now fathers and the law, for what's become of you. Pure consequence and maybe the drugs, but most of all, now I feel a little softer than I knew that you made it. There was a motorcade in the spirit of the Lord. You come to cast it through the strange gyrations of the choir boy. Yeah.
Now we did it.
We did it.
Now it's recording. Okay, cool.
What's going on?
Not too much. I rearranged everything, so I'm not used to this layout.
Oh, wow. It looks great.
Thanks. I probably should have made my bed, but I didn't.
Oh, that's okay.
I can't even tell.
Yeah.
All right, cool.